Hello and welcome to Home Life for Extraordinary Impact. My name is Matt Barrios. I'm a husband, dad, researcher, writer, and coach, and I am exploring global perspectives on people's homes. What are the things that people around the world, experts and everyday folks, do at home in order to make their homes a place of consistent personal growth, meaningful relational connection, and really setting them up to make their greatest impact in the world? So if you're interested in that, stay tuned. We're going to have an interview with somebody who I'm like, even before we hit record, we just got to like chat about it for a sec. And I'm like, man, I just love this guy's energy. It's so good. Today, I get to interview Bart Walsh, and he is currently calling me from the Sunshine Coast out in Australia. And gosh, man, I'm so excited to have you on as a way to kind of get into your life at home just real quickly. What are some of the things that you like to do at home that help you set up for, you know, bringing your best to the world around you?
Excellent. Thanks for having me on, Matt, and thank you to all the listeners who are listening at the moment. Look, I've thought very intimately about this question, knowing that it was coming for a long time now, Matt. And look, home for me is a place to recharge, and I think it needs to be that for a lot of people. And so for me to be able to do that, there are sort of a number of conducive things that need to happen. And I suppose that the number one feature that I look for in my home at the moment is the actual geography. You see, we used to live deep in the city in Melbourne, which is sort of a southern city down the southern of Australia. Mm-hmm. And we identified a long time ago that there was far too much cement, far too much chaos. And we made a move up to the Sunshine Coast, where I am now, at risk. You know, my partner and I both had great jobs in the city. We both loved the cafes. We loved the culture. We had the smallest little apartment, 60 square meters. It was nothing. We still managed to somehow get a few dumbbells and barbells in there, funnily enough. And we took a risk and made the move up here. And so now one thing that's really important about my home at the moment is where it is. 5 minutes down the road, there's a beautiful, in fact, some of the world's best beaches. And if you look where we are, it's pretty nice, mate. And where our actual house is, it's on the side of a mountain. So it's like we're in this secluded jungle with high trees, heaps of birds, bush turkeys, you know, little kangaroos. It's a really special place, and I think what makes my home so special is purely that as a base, and then from there we've made a few little extra tweaks to make it conducive to what's important to us, and that's our health and our fitness.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, man, that sounds like a beautiful place to get to live, and it does sound like a risk, you know, to uproot your life from what you're used to and all of that, and choose to make a big move like that. So, you know, power to you for doing that, because it seems like it has certainly led to a much higher quality, better quality of life for you and your partner. That's really, really cool. And now, you know, one thing that I'm going to be like asking you about, you know, you're my like first Australian guest, which is so awesome. And, you know,
thank you.
Yeah. Not to like make you have to speak for the country of Australia or anything, but I have noticed by doing this research, which is really global, like interviewing folks all around the world, that there are some things that are kind of culturally unique about home at sometimes from culture to culture, country to country. Are there any things that are kind of unique things that come to mind, kind of just off the top of your mind about home in Australia?
Yeah, mate, there's... If you look at, and to be honest, no one other than Australians would search this, but there's sort of this theme or this idea of Australiana in Australia. And so there's some really quintessential characteristics of a typical Australian home that make the Australian lifestyle what it is. It's stuff like what's called a hills hoist clothesline, you know, a barbecue out the back, space to have friends over, And room and place to relax. And I think we had a chat a bit about the Australian accent and the Australian culture before we jumped on today. And a beautiful, unique thing about the Australian culture is that it's just nothing's too serious. It's no worries, mate. And so I think we create environments that facilitate that. And so, you know, the local pub down the road is one of the most casual and cozy places that you can go to, or a bar is what you'd probably call it in the States.
Yeah.
one of the most casual and relaxed places, and that itself is a quintessential part of Australiana. So if you look at the sort of the stuff that makes Australia, it is its environment and sort of how I used to be an actor, and I learnt a long time ago that the accent of a geography is typical to their personality. So if you think about the English accent, it's quite up and down. You know, there's lots of nuance and there's lots of propriety to it. Mm-hmm. And that goes with their landscape and their culture as well. They're very polite, but they can also be very serious.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the Australian accent, where, mate, we are here the whole time. You know, we rarely get really fired up and we rarely get really low. We're always just sort of in the middle. And and that sort of that's our personality as well. And I suppose that's why it's so important to me to have a place at home that's very calm and very still and very relaxed, because the fact of the matter is the outside world can sometimes not be that. And I'm a classic introvert. You wouldn't think so, but I need that place of stillness and calm, you know, with the Barbie out the back, with a place to have friends around that, that I can really be still in.
Oh, that sounds great, man. And the idea of Australiana, and especially that tagline you kind of put on it, like, no worries, mate. Like, I love that. That sounds true. Like such a really fantastic way to live and to set up an environment that fosters that, like as you're describing with the pubs and with the homes and everything. That's so cool. So I also know that you work as in fitness, right? So like you mentioned, like your barbells and everything at your old place and everything. What role does like fitness play in your home? How are those things connected?
Very intimately. So one of my passions, one of my drives is to change people's paradigm on what fitness is. Because if you ask the lay person about their health and their fitness, they'll say stuff like sets, reps, how I look, calories, burning calories, that sort of stuff. When we know our physicality, our movement, our biology has a far-reaching effect on other parts of our life. In fact, often if I'm training someone or someone comes to me for advice, how they look is a byproduct of what I'm trying to do with them. And in terms of how it fits into our home life, into our household, I think we take on the oxygen mask theory. So when you're on a plane, they often say, put your oxygen mask on before you put one on someone else's.
Yeah.
And so me and my partner and our little boy, Lysander, who's 11 months old now, we know that we can better serve others and we can better serve each other if we're also serving ourselves. And so making sure that, you know, our home is set up for a reasonably clean nutrition protocol. Our home has enough toys in it to encourage movement and encourage space within the home is a really important thing. Cool. And just knowing that we're all there to support each other on this journey. And from what I've found, mate, I've trained thousands of people out there, even more by proxy through other trainers. And the best feedback I can get, and in fact, there's a member of the gym here where our office is, and he's a big boy. He's on a big journey. He's got a lot of weight to lose. But the first bit of feedback he gives is, I can feel myself moving better. I can bend down to pick things up a lot more proficiently. And it's these little one percenters that make his entire life so much better. Yeah. And so focusing on that side of fitness and feeling those results essentially makes the aesthetics come down the track. So we're a fit household, that's for sure. And I don't think that'll change in a long time. And I don't consider myself a hoarder, except for when it comes to fitness equipment. So I've got a lot of toys around the house that, you know, even just moving from one side of the room to the other, that's a bit of movement I never would have done if that thing wasn't there. So there's sort of elements in our home that allow for that. You know, we have a couple of exercise bikes in different rooms under the house. There's a whole heap of weight sets. So, and we live on the side of a mountain. So we've got steep hills absolutely everywhere.
Wow.
And I think, to sort of sum up that question, mate, it's a fitter version, and this is something for the listeners, a fitter version of you will be better in every other aspect of your life. If you want to be a better better at your work, if you want a promotion, if you want to be a better husband, father, brother, sister, what have you, if you want better mental health, all of that starts with your biology and your physiology, and you have the power to change that. You sort of just have to make some lifestyle and home tweaks to encourage that more.
That is so good. And you know, what's coming to mind is it's almost like concentric circles, you know, like on some level, like at the core of it is things like your mind and the choices that you make and what motivates you and these kinds of things. And then it's like your body, that's like your home. Like, you know, like yeah. We got to take care of ourselves. And
that's so true. I mean, if you think about it, your physiology, or as a mentor of mine once called it, your flesh vessel that's sort of draped over your soul, very esoteric.
Sure.
That's your constant. That thing is going to be with you from the day you start breathing to the day you stop breathing. Mm-hmm. And if you take that, I love that analogy of your body being your home because it is. And what we're trying to do with this podcast is to have more impact within home life. You can do that with your own body's home too. If you make your internal home a lot better, mate, it changes your it changes your perspective on everything.
I completely believe it, man. And right now, I'm on my own kind of fitness journey and everything right now. Just got back to the gym, started lifting weights again, and I'm feeling good about it. And so it's like, this is just adding some fuel to my fire. So thank you for saying this and helping me connect the dots, actually, because sometimes as a person who is deeply invested in making a great home for me and my wife and our baby, also got a baby too, so we, you know, I can vibe with you on that. It's easy to think that like things like family, things like cooking, things like, you know, like entertainment and socializing at home, like that's going to be the stuff that you move the dial and that'll make your home better. But what if, and I think you're helping me think out loud, like what if actually one of the ways to present or find a greater quality of life at home actually has to do with like physiology, fitness, movement, all of that kind of stuff.
And it can. And think about it this way, Matt. I mean, and this is something I've recently just learned, is that if we're trying to change if we want to change in our body or in our home, we have to alter our behaviors. Everything comes down to the way we behave and our habits. And what a great mentor of mine told me a few weeks ago is this continuum on how to change our habits and our behaviors. And he said, the way we think influences the way we feel. And the way we feel will influence our behaviors. So if we think about sort of changing our inner home, it all starts with just opening up your mind and having a different thought process. And if you don't believe that thought process, you're going to be stuck in this continual circle of, oh, something's wrong with me, I need to change, it makes me feel bad. Something's wrong with me, I need to change, it makes me feel bad. But we change that perspective into, hey, I have the power, I have the choice to move, I have the opportunity to move, I'm blessed to have the opportunity to move. Then all of a sudden you start to feel a bit better, which will influence your behaviors. Mm-hmm. And I love getting a little bit woo-woo with this whole fitness thing. But it's so true. The body is an integrated system. The way we think affects the way we move, and the way we move affects the way we eat. The way we eat affects the way we sleep. It's all integrated, and it all starts with this beautiful brain of ours thinking differently.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. And I, you know, one of the things that I'm also exploring is the way environment can lead our state of mind too. So, yes. You know, perhaps one thing that can jumpstart that process of thinking differently might have to do actually with making changes in our actual physical space, you know, like even how you're describing, you know, you're not a hoarder except for when it comes to fitness equipment, right? Like it's hard to, you know, jump over that every time you go to a new space, right? Like you're actually setting up your environment to remind you and to make those sort of choices and make it low friction for you to jump right into a quick exercise on the bike. Right. That's amazing.
That's absolutely true, mate. And here's another one for you before we move on to another question.
Sure.
The unconscious and conscious mind is a fascinating thing. So you mentioned just changing a little thing in your environment to change your behavior or to change the way that you feel. I learned this very recently, but every second your brain gets 11 million bits of information, but our conscious mind – only processes 126 bits of it. So we're taking 11 million, we process 126, which tells me our unconscious mind, which obviously we're unconscious of, takes on more and does more than our conscious mind. So moving that thing from here to here, or, you know, rearranging the way your table is set up, or, you know, simply changing where the forks and spoons are in your kitchen, your unconscious mind recognizes that, and that's a stimulation to your unconscious mind. And it's a powerful thing, so powerful that we don't understand it. It's unconscious.
Yeah. Seriously, yeah. Wow, that is a wild thought. And, like, I would maybe one day you and I can keep riffing on that idea of, like, the ways we can influence our unconscious minds through our environments and all of that. That sounds like a blast, and connecting that to fitness. Now, I want to also go into a little bit of your backstory. So, you know, you have this training in fitness and everything. How did that become important to you in your life? Like, what's the backstory, especially if there's any connections to, like, how you were raised, the home you came from, all of that?
Mm-hmm. I explain how I was raised very simply. I think I had one of the most perfect childhoods you could ever think of.
Wow.
I had two very loving parents, lots of two older sisters, a younger brother. You know, we're a reasonably close family. We're structured on some very strong values. And that's representative in, you know, how happy my parents are and how successful all my siblings are as well. You know, I didn't know the meaning of divorce until I was maybe like 25. You know, all my uncles and aunties were very loving as well, lots of cousins. And we had a great upbringing. I did a bit of sport when I was younger. I played a sport called Australian Rules Football, which I know is very, very niche to Australia, but I still think it's one of the best sports in the world, mate.
Oh, wow.
And it involves a lot of running, a lot of ball skill work, kicking, handballing. And so that was my passion for a long time, and that was sort of my physical development was based around that sport. So I had a big engine. I could run a long way, and I could persevere. But the funny thing was, when I was in year 12, our senior year, I had a choice between either pursuing and continuing football, either recreationally or putting my head down and trying to become good at it, or on the other end of the spectrum, a very theatrical career. And so I was a country boy, and me and my best mate were really into acting, and we said, hey, let's give this a crack. So we both went to university. We studied acting, which was an awesome course. It's very demanding. In the first year, you're there from 9 a.m. in the morning to 9 a.m. at night. They sort of break down how you move and how you speak, only to rebuild you up again. And so I went through that course. I learned so much. I think that, you know, most people would benefit from something a bit strange like doing that. At the end of it, I got an agent. I was really happy. I was starting to do some sort of minor television and theatre roles in Melbourne. But it was when I was 23 when something quite tragic happened to me. I was diagnosed with a malignant peripheral nerve sheath tumour. So it was a pretty aggressive cancer on the side of my jaw. Within about 2 months, it grew to the size of a baseball, so 10.2 centimeters in diameter.
Whoa.
And so we had to get it out. We did the biopsy, realized it was cancerous. And so I had a pretty major operation. They took out the right side of my jaw with all my teeth on it, and they took it out like a short rib. So the tumor was in the middle, and they cut the bone on either side. And then they replaced that bone with a bone in my leg. And it's amazing what they can do, mate. They took out a whole part of my face and replaced it with a bone and tissue from my left leg.
Wow.
Medicine these days is incredible. And so I had the surgery. Took a while to rehab. I went through radiation therapy, which was one of the most depressing things I think you could ever go through.
Oh, I bet.
And then there were some follow-up infections and follow-up. You know, it was a whole medical journey for about 3 years of my life there. But it was during this time where I gained an understanding and appreciation for how adaptive the human body is. It amazed me, and still does amaze me, that this patch on my neck used to be my leg. And the fact that I can still chew with parts of my leg inside of my mouth amazes me. I don't understand how it works.
When you connect the dots like that, it sounds absolutely wild. I can chew with a piece of my leg in my mouth. Wow.
It's amazing, right? And this is where my love and fascination of how the human body adapts to stimulus started. And so that's where I gained that appreciation. And then I started off as a personal trainer. I did a lot of reps. I loved working with people. I loved I loved helping people. And then if your mind is open and you're open to learning, and you're a personal trainer, you have a great opportunity to understand the psychology and kinesiology of a human, you know, 8 to 10 times a day. And so I took every client on as like a case study, and I just gained this beautiful wealth of applicable knowledge. And I'm at a point now where, you know, I moved through a few gyms. I managed to become the head of fitness for a big fitness franchise down here in Australia. We have about 180 gyms in Australia, 260 around the world. And my job simply is to inform, you know, the design of the gyms, the equipment in the gyms, and the programming and training that's being done in our gyms. So I'm in a great position where I can influence a lot of people from a higher platform, and that really is my passion. As I mentioned before, you know, it's my mission in this world to change people's paradigm on what fitness is, and the fact that people come into the gym wanting to change the way their body looks is sort of a last resort, or a last thing I focus on for me. And wow. I think it's good as well, like, you know, there's been a number of things in my life that are quite tragic. I've also been diagnosed with a nervous system condition, which means I'm slowly losing the use of my my distal legs, my lower legs, and my hands. And so it's a very slow progressing condition. But again, just gives me another appreciation for the way the body can overcome these hurdles. And if I can get this little bit of perspective that I've learned through these hardships into the minds of the general public, I will consider my job done. So part of the reason why I'm here is to spread that sort of message, Matt. It really gets me going.
Oh gosh, I love it. And I think what you're describing is something that I think, you know, a lot of people probably innately understand, which is just like how much the most important perspectives in life are born out of great challenges and hardship. And thank you so much for representing that, and especially like bringing that to bear on a very holistic picture on fitness too. Mm. So not only are you thinking about, you know, person looking good, losing weight, or, you know, whatever their physiological goals might be, you can also connect the dots then to what does that have to do with what you're hoping for in life, and having a mindset that's grateful, and all of these things. So I just love that, and you sound like you've got the perfect story to represent that. So love that you're doing that, and that you get to do that on like a multiplied platform now throughout these mm-hmm. gyms and the role that you're in now. I love it. So that's such a cool backstory. Tell me about the different places that you lived throughout that time. Again, bringing it all back to home and stuff. Like,
yes, mate.
What were those different environments? Who was there? What were the different feels of the places? You know, would you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. There was a time in my life during university where I think I changed physical home almost more than once a year. And so I don't think it was enough. And, you know, you probably know what it's like, Matt. When you're a student, you don't, you know, your perspective is very limited. Your life experience is very small. But, you know, where you live does play a role in shaping you. And so for a while there, I felt like I was a bit here, there, and everywhere. And I suppose I grew up in a home that had a lot of space, much as the Australian dream. We lived out in the middle of a few farms. We didn't own a big property, but we lived sort of in the middle of a few big properties. So you'd walk out our back door when I was younger, and you'd just see kilometers of space, paddocks, just wow. of nothingness, except for maybe a few cows and kangaroos jumping by or what have you. And there's something so beautiful and peaceful about that. And one thing my dad did is when we bought this property, the house was relocated, So I was moved on the back of a truck and dumped in the middle of this paddock, and Dad decided to extend it and make it a bit bigger and make it a bit more functional for a big family. And a part of that was sort of a rehabilitation of the flora and fauna. So he planted a lot of native trees, and then over the years, and now we've been there for, gosh, maybe 20-odd years now, over those years he's built an ecological environment that now has a very diverse array of birds and bugs and wildlife. And I never thought I'd come to a point in my life where I'd really appreciate that stuff, but I do. And
that's so cool.
And it's very special, and again, very uniquely Australia to sort of have that space and have that sort of environment. And so
I think that connection, if I could just jump in for a sec, it seems like that connection to nature, connection to wildlife and everything, I definitely can relate to the fact that, like, as a kid, you don't necessarily understand the value of that, but with age, it becomes a little bit more, you want some space to run around as a kid or something like that. But to like realize the treasure it is to get to see kangaroos jumping in your backyard, like that's something completely different that like what was normal, and you realize, oh gosh, that's actually really incredible. Like I love the way that time has a way of helping us appreciate things that were hidden in plain sight for us initially. So it sounds like a pretty cool place to get to grow up and see what it's transformed into over the years as well.
Yeah, it is. And now that I think of it, now that you mention it, it's probably given me the appreciation of where I live now, you know, in the rainforest, surrounded by trees, surrounded by birds. There's definitely a through line there to sort of what my dad fostered and what I grew up with, to where I'm in now. And there was sort of, as I mentioned, there was a time in my life where we spent a lot of time in the city. And the situation was this. I was working at a big gym in the city. I was a fitness manager there. Something like 4,000 members. It was right at the bottom of a couple of really big skyscrapers. And my life for those few years was jumping on a tram, going into the city, which is about 10 minutes away, you know, being inside. And then when I do go outside, it's the hustle and bustle of the deep CBD of Melbourne. And coming back home to a very small apartment that was on a major road, so there was always chaos. Yeah. And I listened to a show of yours a few weeks ago, and you were talking about how you know, some people thrive on that chaos, and some people don't. But the only way for you to understand what you like and what you don't like about something is to experience both. You need the light and you need the dark to understand which one you prefer.
And which one's the light and which one's the dark for you, right? That's the crazy thing about it.
That's exactly right. And I really resonated with that. And it's very true. If I had stayed in the country, which, to be honest, I'd probably be really happy about, and to be honest, I'll probably move back there one day. If I had stayed there, I never would have had the perspective of what it's like to live in that chaos and in that environment. And so those life lessons and that life perspective has informed my choices and informed my behaviors, and hence why I'm up here in a place that's similar to my home growing up within nature and in a similar environment.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about like that spot in the Sunshine Coast where you are. Is it like a bigger city? I'm not really familiar with the geography of Australia very much, or is it a little more rural countryside, or is it, you know, somewhere in between? Do you tell me about that?
Absolutely. So we live in a state called Queensland, and this might be a bit politically incorrect, but you can consider Queensland the Texas of Australia.
Okay.
So the state laws are a little bit more lax. The people are a little bit more abrasive, but where we are, it's a beautiful part of the world. So Brisbane is the major city in Queensland. To the south of Brisbane is the Gold Coast, which is a very touristy sort of area. Some people have likened it to the Las Vegas of Australia.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and so where we are isn't there. It's north of Brisbane. And so the Sunshine Coast is a small group of suburbs, but growing very rapidly. You know, I'm not the only one that's realized that this is one of the best places on the world. So there's a lot of people that are moving here. And so house prices are going up and all that sort of stuff. But you could consider it sort of a a regional city, a regional hub. You know, there's a lot of people here, but they're spread out. And as it grows, it's sort of expanding more inland. And the beautiful thing about the inland of the Sunshine Coast. So first of all, you've got, I think, some of the best beaches in the world, some of the best surf in the world, some of the most livable places in the world are on the Sunshine Coast. And then as you move inland, you have a mountain range called the Glasshouse Mountains, which is simultaneously some of the most beautiful formed volcanic plug mountains that sort of frame the area. It's very picturesque, and the flora and fauna, the plants up here, are very unique in Australia as well. It's a subtropical climate, so there's lots of palm trees and weird looking plants and very strange animals. And in fact, there's a place on the Sunshine Coast called Noosa, which is another very sort of posh place to go for a holiday. It in itself is a biosphere, a nationally protected biosphere. So the ecosystem up there is so unique that it's now protected, because there's no other place in the world that has what they have in terms of the plants and the animals. And so the more you go inland, obviously the more regional you get. And if you keep going inland a long, long, long way, you get to the point of Australia that a lot of international people think of, where it's just desert. And, you know, a house in the middle of a desert, and then kangaroos yeah. jumping by.
Right.
And so it's, mate, it's Australia.
That's Crocodile Dundee yeah. kind of stuff, yeah.
Absolutely. That's the place you're thinking of. And then if you go further up north towards Cairns, that's where you get the crocs. That's where you get all the really dangerous spiders and really dangerous birds.
Oh, wow.
Mate, you know, there's a reason why we moved from Melbourne to come up here. And part of the reason is just how breathtakingly beautiful it is.
A real change of pace and a change of scenery, it sounds like, from the city and the concrete and all of that and skyscrapers versus this very picturesque view as you're describing it. Like, I was like hanging on every word as you're describing it. I was like, man, okay, I got to go visit this place or something, because it sounds so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've had a lot of time to lament. And up here, it's beautiful. The sun rises, the sun sets. It's very special.
Oh, it sounds so nice. So good. A real sanctuary to live in. That sounds so good. Let's kind of blitz through maybe a few more questions here that I'd be interested to hear about. So you mentioned some of what you do at home is like fitness, and you collect these fitness items and everything. But I'm wondering if you have any other prized possessions, things that carry perhaps sentimental value, or, you know, things that you use often. What comes to mind when you think of prized possessions?
There's, and again, this is a bit strange, but there's one, I'm not much of a material person, but there's one thing that I use almost every night, and it's a thing called an acupressure mat. Again, this is a bit left field, but stay with me.
Sure, great.
So basically, it's a small mat, maybe the size of your back. It's got a heap of spikes in it. And the whole idea is that you lay on it, and the first sort of 3 or so minutes, you're quite uncomfortable, but then your nervous system relaxes, and it gives you this really great sense of calm. And so, as I mentioned before, you know, home being a place to recharge, home being a place to that's still and calm. Having tools and having items around the house that promote that are really important to me. And so every night before bed, I'll lie on this mat. I'll take my shirt off, lie on it, and be very uncomfortable for the first 5 or so minutes. But then this wash of relaxation falls over me, and it makes falling asleep a lot easier. That's sort of one thing. And another thing as well, in terms of things that really make our environment a bit more conducive, is our lighting. So we've deliberately gotten dimmer switches on most of our lights. We have heaps of pink Himalayan rock salts around the house. The lamps. And when the sun goes down at night, we turn off the main lights, we dim everything, we turn on the pink lamps, again, to help promote sleep. Because if we have all of these artificial lights that are burning into our eyes when the sun goes down, it makes it so much harder for you to get to sleep. So that and the Sharky mat, it's called, that's the brand name of it. No, those are two things that I'm quite fond of.
Yeah, it sounds very, very helpful for you to protect your home as a place of restoration and re-energizing and all of that. Get great rest. That sounds like a really important value that you have for your home, even as you describe those objects. Like, as much as you are a person who is about being fit and moving, you're also about giving the body its due rest, finding peace, finding calm. Absolutely. Maybe a little bit of that no worries mate kind of sink into everything, huh?
That's it. You're catching on that. No worries, mate.
I love it. Well, Bart, gosh, I've really enjoyed this conversation. And, you know, just walking through it, it seems like you have such a finger on the pulse of what are the things that help a person, you know, go beyond, like, pursue fitness, but in a way that goes beyond fitness at the same time. And the way that fitness actually opens up a whole lot of things. Now, thinking about that and home, I feel like that's like a theme, is like that sort of holistic fitness and home is our theme for this episode, I feel. Do you have any recommendations or suggestions for the folks listening to help, you know, really dig into that more for themselves?
Absolutely. I can give a couple off the top of my head. And so, you know, if you're listening out there and you're motivated, or you have a reason to maybe you do want to lose a bit of weight, maybe you want to feel better with your fitness, a lot of that can start with what you do at home. You don't even necessarily have to go to the gym to start that journey. And the first recommendation would be, in regards to nutrition, you control that. You control what you buy. You control what you eat. You control what you swallow. Everything is a choice. And so the first choice you need to make is to make sure you have good food in the house. And that would mean that you have less of the bad food in the house. So if you look in our pantry and in our fridge, look, there's some chocolate in there. There's a lot of bad food in there, but we put it in a place that we can't see. And we portion it out, you know, pretty carefully. But if you really struggle with that relationship with food, simply not having it in the home is a really great step for you not to consume it. And if we want to change our behaviors, putting in roadblocks like that to the block of chocolate by saying, if I want it, I need to go to the shop and get it, that could be enough of a barrier for you not to do it. So that's my first recommendation. Mm-hmm. And then the second recommendation goes back to our conversation, Matt, about the conscious and unconscious mind. If you're at home right now, have a look at your home and go and just objectively have a look and say, is this an environment that's conducive to my unconscious mind? If it's cluttered, your mind is going to take that in. If it's non-efficient, your mind is going to take that in. If you've got 17 different types of screens around you, your body's taking that in and responding to it. So even if it's not consciously important to you, tidying up your environment, making it more conducive to the person that you want to be, is a great first step in making that thought process, which will then influence your feelings, which will then influence your behaviors. So those are sort of my two big recommendations.
Those are great recommendations. And I know we are big on, you know, and we do it more or less, but not always nailing it. But like, there's certain things we just don't let in the house, right? Except for the special occasion where we buy it, we use it, it's done, it's gone, yes. Right? Like that kind of thing. So especially around nutrition, that's like a huge, huge help. Great recommendation. And I'm going to keep thinking about this, like, how does our home environment sculpt our unconscious thing? I think that's like a very, very fascinating thing that, I don't have an answer for, but it seems to me like, because like, how would you even assess something like that? Right?
Absolutely. Like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess it has to do with, you know, feeding ourselves, surrounding ourselves with an environment that can be a little bit more conducive to messages that are positive, are helping us move in the direction we want to move and so on. So, yeah, it sounds really helpful around clutter and everything. So thank you. Now, Bart, I want to hear more about what it is that you're working on, and how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more and, you know, continue a conversation with you?
Oh, absolutely. A really great resource that we've just started is indeed a podcast. It's called Personal Best. So if you search Personal Best and put in JETS, JETTS, you'll see it pop up. And it really gives me a platform to go deep on some of the topics that need to be going deeper on. A part of the reason we started the podcast is we have a lot of members in our gym network, and some of the philosophies and some of the ideas that we're trying to explain to them can't be explained in a 15-second TikTok video. You need to have these conversations like we're having today, Matt. And so mm-hmm. that's a platform for anyone that wants to level up their training, their nutrition, and their mind to start to piece all the puzzle pieces together, because it takes a long time for you to sort of understand what we're trying to do with your health and fitness and why we recommend certain things. So Personal Best by Jets Australia is a great platform for you to start learning that, and you can reach me through Instagram, walsh.fit, walsh.fit, and shoot me a message, engage how you want. I'll be happy to have a chat.
Awesome. Thanks, Bart. I'll take that info and I'm going to put it in a companion blog post that anybody who's listening can just click into the show description. You will find a link to that blog post so that you can find that stuff super easily, everything that Bart just mentioned. Thank you again, Bart, for being an awesome guest. I mean, I just love this conversation. And man, you're giving me so much to keep thinking about. So thank you.
Pleasure, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So this has been a Home Life for Extraordinary Impact podcast episode. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation with me and Bart Walsh. If you really enjoyed it, please take a moment and subscribe and rate this episode because, you know, that'll help me get it out into the world that much more. And if you are also interested in the larger project of this podcast, it's called Home Life Design Lab. It is my business that is all about helping people transform their quality of life at home. And it covers like a very, very large spectrum of things. Everything from the sort of stuff that me and Bart talked about, which is this interesting intersection between fitness and home. And also other things such as architecture and interior design, rhythms of life, relationships, skills, all of that. And how is the home a place where all of these things are converging all the time? So if that strikes your fancy, please go to homelifedesignlab.com, sign up for the newsletter so you'll stay up to date on everything. And you can also check out some of the workshops I've got going on up there. So thank you again, everybody, for having a listen. And a final thank you to Bart. What a great conversation. Until next time, everybody. Thanks for listening to Home Life for Extraordinary Impact. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed putting it together for you. Please take a moment to rate it, like it, and subscribe wherever you have listened or watched. If you really loved it, check the link in the show notes to become a premium subscriber to support the ongoing work of this project and to unlock some exclusive premium episodes. Home Life for Extraordinary Impact is a project of Home Life Design Lab. Find out more at homelifedesignlab.com, where you can sign up for the newsletter and follow along on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks.